have a recent tradition here at the Grove that in January we look at our mission statement and we examine each part of it again as if for the first time, and we recommit as a community. And last Sunday, even though we could not be physically together, Cedric prepared a word for us about the first part of our mission statement, inviting all. And if you haven't heard that word, it is saved for you on the Facebook. And I would invite you to go and wrestle with it. On the next part of our mission statement, we're inviting all to serve. And so today, the Holy Spirit has been working with us, and we have been just marveling and wondering and considering what it means to serve like Jesus served. So more than you hear anything else that's coming, as you ponder that question of what it means to serve, hear these words. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." And Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. And when he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." Church, we live in a culture that says some people matter, but most people don't. We live in a world that says some people are worthy, but most people aren't. And many of us inherited a religion that taught a few people are deserving, but most people are not. God, who created our world, God, who chose to put on flesh and be born into it, God came to show us a more excellent way. And on the night before Jesus left this world, he shared a sacred meal with his friends, a Passover feast, a sacred meal that remembered and celebrated God's previous act of saving and freeing the chosen people, the people who were chosen to be salt and light and blessing to the whole world. On that night, as he was facing his own brutal, violent death, he shared a salvation meal with his friends, and then he showed them a more excellent way than the world's ways. One last time he showed them, his whole life was a manifestation of God's more excellent way. But on that night, when, as verse 4 tells us, God had put all things under his power on that night. On that night, knowing that he had come from God and knowing that he was returning to God, he got up from the meal. He got up from that meal that was celebrating and remembering the way that God saved them in the past. And he got up from that meal on his way to save and free all people now and forever. He got up from that table to show them one more time an alternative to the way of this world. God's more excellent way. A better way than living as if life was meant only for some. A better way than living as if a few people matter but most don't. And he showed them that better way without saying a word. He rose up. He took off his outer cloak. He wrapped a towel around his waist. He poured water in a basin. He knelt down before them. He knelt down before them. He knelt down before them. The maker of the stars knelt down before the ones that he formed from the dust of stars. The ones who were made from God's glory, made for God's glory, who didn't even know it. The ones whose souls had been deafened and crushed by the lies of this world. The eternal one, the truth, knelt down before them, wrapped in a towel, holding a bowl to wash their feet. Now, if I came to you right now in this moment, I'm not going to do this. But if for some reason we all had to take off our shoes right now in this room, that would be really uncomfortable for us. It would be a moment of real vulnerability and discomfort, even shame, if we had to do that in this sacred space. We would be worried that maybe our feet smelled. We would be worried that maybe we hadn't cleaned them well enough. And that is a real worry for us. And we have shoes and indoor plumbing. None of you want to take your shoes off in this room right now. Well, except for Jessica. Because she likes to stand on this stage and she takes her shoes off because it's holy ground and I love it. But the rest of us don't want to do that. And we have shoes and indoor plumbing. But in Jesus' day, people had neither one of those things. They didn't have paved roads, and they lived in a desert, and they wore sandal, and dust was everywhere, and water was scarce. And when you came indoors, if you came to a place that had resources, and if you were deemed as a person who mattered, then a servant would greet you and come for you and kneel down and wash your feet for you. But Jesus and his friends, they didn't have resources and they didn't have servants. And no one had washed their feet that night. So they were sitting around a table and they had their feet tucked up behind and underneath their robes, out of sight, away from the food, hopefully dampening the smell. So when Jesus knelt down before them, he had to hold out his hand and wait. Wrapped in that towel, holding a bowl, it was clear, even though it was unbelievable, it was clear that this man who they had seen turn water into wine, this man who they had seen walk on water, this man who they had seen control the wind and the waves with a word, this man that they had seen cast out a legion of demons, this man whose words opened the eyes of the blind, this miracle man who could do anything with a word, was kneeling before them with his hand out, offering, asking if he could wash their feet. And everyone around that table had to choose. whether to uncurl and reveal what was dirty and shameful, whether to allow the one they called Lord to serve them or not. And Peter, God bless him, he said no. When Jesus came to him, he said, no, this cannot be. I will not allow it. I have a sense of propriety. This is not right. I can't allow you to serve me. That's not the way this is supposed to go. I can't allow you to hold and touch and smell and see the most human and dirty part of me. And Jesus said to him, that's your choice. But if you don't allow me to wash you, then you aren't really part of me. Tzayil is right on time. If you hold anything back from God, you hold everything back. Jesus kneels before them in that moment, just as that's the posture of God when we confess our sins every week. We're invited to trust God with our whole, real, embodied selves. Jesus says that to Peter, and then Peter flips tactics and says, okay, well then if you're going to wash my feet, you got to wash all of me. You got to wash my head. You got to wash my hands, not just the dirty and shameful parts of me, but every part of me, because all of me is dirty and shameful and unworthy and unclean. The first tactic is the parts of me are unshameful, are shameful, and I'm going to hide them from you. But the second part of me is, okay, well then all of me is shameful and unworthy. And the only thing that matters about me is that I'm unclean. And so you got to take care of every part of me, because every part of me is just the same as the part of me that I've tried to deny and hide. And again, Jesus says, no, not all of you needs to be clean. You are clean, Peter. You are worthy. It's just your feet that are dirty. You're a human being walking around in sandals on dusty streets. Your feet need cleansing. That's true. But that's not the only true thing about you. It's not the only thing that matters about you. Jesus is saying it's not a surprise or a thing of shame to need your feet cleansed. You always will. But here is Jesus, Messiah, Lord, Son of God, kneeling down and offering to cleanse them. So in that moment and forever after, we as the people of Jesus have to see that it's not shameful to need cleansing. And it's not shameful to offer cleansing. Jesus washes all of their feet. And friends, Judas is at that table. Jesus washes all of their feet, and then after he finishes, he returns to his rightful place, which is the head of the table. And he looks at them and he asks, do you understand what this means? Do you understand what I've done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right. I am your teacher, and I am teaching you. You call me Lord, and you're right. I am your Lord, and I am commanding you. And now, since I have knelt down and washed your feet, since I'm your teacher, since I'm your Lord, you do what I do. Since I have washed your feet, and you are a part of me, then you wash one another's feet. Jesus says, I've set you an example. You should do what I have done. You're not greater than me. Jesus says, if I, the great I am not too great to kneel down and wash your feet, more than that, if in this act I have shown you what true greatness is, now you must follow me and wash one another's feet. Friends, beloved ones, he's talking to you. He's talking to me. All these centuries later, he's talking to us. At the heart of our mission here are the words to serve. And this story, Jesus washing the feet of his friends who misunderstood him, his friends who were about to deny him, his friend who betrayed him, his friends who loved him. When you wonder what it means to serve, this is the story you have to think about. This image is the way that we serve. And we have to, who are mature in Christ, we have to understand that serving is not so much what we do, it's the way that we do it. And together, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we are becoming something that we are not yet. Something is in us that is not of us. God is creating a culture and a community here. And at the heart of that culture is serving. But we have to serve the way Jesus served, not help like the world helps. We have to center Jesus at that table in our serving. And we're not called to be helpers. Because the trouble with putting helping at the center of our mission is it's hierarchical, it's transactional, and it reduces people as problems to be solved. And when we seek to help, when that's our motive, then we begin to narrow our focus and send a lot of energy trying to figure out who is worth helping. Where will we and our helping have the most impact? Who is the most likely to benefit from our health? What is our maximum ROI in helping people? Who can we help who will stay helped? When we begin to see ourselves as helpers, then we inevitably start looking to fix people. That is not our job. Helping has a hierarchy built in. Those on top help the more poor, unfortunate souls beneath. Those who have help, those who need get help. Have you seen the SNL skit with the IT guy? Am I the only person who watches SNL? This is a long time ago, but there's this recurring sketch where people working in an office, their computers break down, and they have to call IT, information technology, and this guy comes in and he's really mad to be there, and they say, "Oh, I'm having this problem," and he just looks at them and says, "Move!" He doesn't want to hear them, he doesn't want to look at them, he doesn't want a relationship with them, he just wants them out of the way so that he can fix the problem. That is a culture of helping, and Jesus doesn't give us that. In that moment around the table, if he had wanted to, Jesus could have shamed and blamed and labeled his friends. He could have washed their feet in a way that made them physically clean and physically close, but shriveled up their souls and made them feel like they had to protect themselves and hide even more. But Jesus doesn't do that. He washes them without shaming them. And it is an act of intimacy and love and honor and connection. Jesus is showing them that more excellent way of choosing to be great by choosing to become servant of all. Greatness in the kingdom of God, it doesn't separate, it doesn't shame, it connects. And in this moment here, Jesus explicitly asks his disciples to follow his example and to do what he is doing. Church, the work of salvation is God's alone. But the work of serving, Jesus has given us that work. And in this story, Jesus shows us that serving is a sacrament. A sacrament is an act of God that lifts the veil that separates this world from eternity. A sacrament is something that comes from God that imparts holiness to all who participate in it. And it is foolish to try to explain or describe a sacrament, but I'm a fool for Christ. So let me describe and let me give you three words that you can take with you as you marinate over what your serving looks like, so that you can, when you set your heart to serve in Jesus' name, you can check your heart and make sure that you have assumed the right holy and life-giving posture of Jesus. Make sure that when you set out to keep this commandment, you are doing it in a way that embodies Jesus. So here are the questions you can ask yourself to find out if your serving is like Jesus or if you're helping out of some other kind of motive. Is this serving vulnerable? Is it humble? And is it mutual? First, vulnerable. Jesus kneels down in front of them. And then he asks. He does not demand. Jesus shows us that serving is a privilege and there must be consent. Jesus doesn't demand that the disciples allow him to wash their feet. He doesn't accuse. He kneels and he offers and they can say yes or no. And he tells them the truth, but he does not manipulate them. And if they are unwilling to be vulnerable towards him, then he will walk away. He makes himself vulnerable to their no. And if we set to serve out of a posture where we're not willing to be vulnerable, then what we're doing is not serving at all. We're controlling. We have not been called to save anyone. We have not been called to fix anyone. That's way above our pay grade. But the one who lovingly served us invites us to imitate him. So to serve someone else requires getting vulnerable. You don't get to barrel in like the annoyed IT guy from SNL. You get to kneel down and ask if you can have the intimate privilege of washing someone's feet. And people get to say yes or no. And if you choose to serve like Jesus, then you are opening yourself up to being rejected like Jesus. And if you're not willing to do that, then don't kid yourself. Secondly, serving requires deep humility. Jesus kneels and washes the feet of everyone at that table, even the feet of Judas, who is on his way to betray Jesus. Jesus knows this and still chooses to clean Judas's feet. We do not get to choose who deserves our service and who does not. If Jesus found it worthy to wash Judas's feet, then who are we to reject anyone as unworthy of our tenderness? Serving requires a humility that finds its value in the act of serving itself, not in the way it's received or in what comes from it. Washing Judas's feet did not prevent him from leaving and betraying. And yet Jesus still chose to serve Judas in this way. Service requires extraordinary humility, and that is the strength that comes from knowing your own sacred worth and intrinsic value of what you do, regardless in how others see you or value you. If you need to be validated or celebrated for serving, then you're not serving. You are being served, and you aren't serving in Christ. And thirdly and finally, serving is about recognizing mutuality and solidarity. It's about recognizing that whatever need or wound you are meeting in another, it is also there in you. It's kneeling to wash someone's feet, knowing that your own feet sometimes grow dirty. One reason I love this story as a lens is that it helps us when we set out to serve to be ready to respond, not react, to the people who are around us when we serve. So if you are, say, serving at community meal and some surly teenager comes up to you in the line and says, "You didn't give me enough. I want more." You can just give more. Or if we share money with someone in need and they don't say thank you, or if we're trying to do something for somebody in all sincerity and they get angry and tell us we're doing it wrong and put a label on us, when someone's response to our serving is something that we would label rude or ungrateful, we can just think, "I'm seeing their feet. That was an unpleasant and maybe an impure response. It's probably more about what's happened to them in the past or the fear they carry about what might happen in the future. It's just the dust and dirt of this falling world clinging to this relationship and covering up our God-breathed connection." We can observe that response. We can get curious. Maybe we are the one who hasn't been serving with purity of heart, but whatever it is, we can just label it as dirty feet. And remember that our feet get dirty sometimes too. And we can wash that moment in grace and patience and gentleness. We can know for sure that sometimes our reactions and responses are unloving and fearful and harmful as well. And we can say, "Selah," and wash feet anyway. Serving creates a culture of mutuality, of knowing that we all have sin and dirt that clings to us, and we all have a frequent need to wash and be cleansed by love and grace. That's why one of our guiding principles here at the Grove is we are a community of broken and sinful people who practice forgiving and being forgiven. Serving is mutuality, and if there is no mutuality in your serving, then it is not of God. Beloved, Jesus was not repulsed by our humanity. He was not disgusted or surprised that his friends needed their feet washed. He loved them, and he was glad to care for them. He counted it all joy and saw it as an expression of his own greatness to care for his own. He washed their feet knowing that in only a very few hours, the most faithful among them would lift his own body down from the cross and wash every part of his flesh. Because serving is the most beautiful, powerful, loving, more excellent way that Jesus came to show us. And he said at the end, "Beloved, now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." Church, let's ask and seek and knock and go after this more excellent way of serving. Hallelujah. Amen.